want to say tonight, I'm thankful for the good singing this week. I'm thankful for the good piano playing. I'm thankful for New Harmony Church and their willingness to come and support this effort and support their pastor. And love New Harmony Church. Appreciate Brother Chris. I love Fairview Memorial. I love this church. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to be real tonight, if I can. It's easy to look out a lot of times and get discouraged. It is. But the Lord has told us that there'd be a time when there'd be a great falling away, and that the hearts of many would wax cold. We know that. But I'm thankful that the Spirit of God can warm wax and bring it back to life again. And for those that are a child of God, and I'll just be honest with you, I know a lot of times we think about where two or three are gathered in the Lord's name, that He'll be in the midst, and I believe that. And this is still the Lord's service. And really, it makes me no difference tonight if I was preaching to 10,000 or if I was preaching to one. Philip had a great work, and he left one of the greatest, biggest revivals there in Samaria, and he went to one man. The Lord sent him to one man. And that man, that one man, his soul was worth as much as those 3,000 that will say. So tonight, as we come this way, I stand in need of your prayers. Probably I feel just as weak tonight as maybe I have in a long time. And I need your prayers. Do pray for me tonight that the Lord would pass by. And that's what we need. I'm thankful tonight for this old-time way. And I'm thankful that that the Lord has never changed. And the Lord is very precise. He's very precise. When you look throughout the Scripture, there's a lot of things that I think a lot of times we tend to overlook. But the Lord has put them in His Word for a reason and for a purpose. And a lot of times we'll look at days and numbers and different things of that nature. And I'm not for sure I've got all that figured out. But I know God is very precise. And tonight, in His precision and what His requirements are for those that are saved and those that are lost, is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And I certainly believe that that's what was required of David there in the 51st Psalms. And for those that are lost tonight, it takes a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That spirit must be crushed. And it's not certainly something that I can do, but God is able to do it. And but I want you to know tonight that if your heart is broke, that God can fix it. But if it's not, listen, if your heart is not broke, if it's not in the shape that God can reshape it and mold it and put it back together, then my friend, then you can't. It's not something that you can manifest just because you want to. It's not something that you can just make happen just because you want it to happen. Yes, you've got to have a desire to be saved. But listen tonight, I don't want to confuse you. I want to make this just as simple as I can. But there's a broken heartedness about it. And why is there a brokenness about it? Because you realize your guilt and your shame. You see yourself for what you are in the eyes of an almighty God. And you realize that the Savior of the world gave His life for you. That He paid the price that you didn't, that you couldn't pay, even if you wanted to. And so when you think about that and you begin to think about what the Lord Jesus has done for you tonight. I want you to consider those things, and we might get into some of that. Tonight, I want to I want to try to look at a few verses of Scripture, and I don't know how far we'll go, but I certainly want to look at a few things. I want to look over here in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke tonight. 22nd chapter of the book of Luke. Now, I want to look here for a reading, and we may just read here just a few minutes. Starting in the first verse, it says, "Now when the feast of unleavened bread had drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priest and the captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray unto them in the absence of the multitude." And I want to stop there for just a moment. And I know many of us are familiar with Judas. And I want to talk just a little bit about him tonight. And as I said earlier, I need your prayers. But I want to talk a little bit tonight about Judas. And I want to talk to you a little bit about just the way that I see him and what would end up coming of him. And I want to talk tonight a little bit about the power of God and what the Lord is able to do. Now, I know most of us are, I suppose, are very familiar with Judas Iscariot, and we understand that he was the one that had betrayed the Lord Jesus. And we can find those things that are written in the Old Testament that would prophesy unto those things. And but here we find that he was one of the 12. And he was one of those of the apostles that the Lord had put in that position. One that had been called out. Now I want you to understand something, that the Lord knew who he was from the beginning. And there's certain things that I don't necessarily understand, but I'm thankful that God knows all things. And so we find here this man by the name of Judas, that he kind of got on the train, if you will. He seen the things that was coming to pass, and no doubt he had to be there with John the Baptist. I believe the Scripture teaches us that that was one of the requirements. So he had to be there with John the Baptist. And one of the things that John the Baptist required was that they must bring forth fruit meet for repentance. That was something that he required. And I'll just be honest with you tonight, and I don't know how else to put it, but there's people that are in the church per se, that I certainly believe that, and it's not up to me to judge, but they don't know the Lord. I'm thankful tonight that those that don't know the Lord, that they can be saved. But they have an interest and a desire to want to be part of the church, or maybe they want to hide their sin, or if they think that they join the church, maybe God will relieve that burden that's upon them. Maybe that burden that's on their heart, that maybe that burden will get gone if they join the Lord's church. And my friend, I don't know Judas's heart in that situation, but no doubt there was a great movement. And listen, God was doing great things through John. But that was one of the things that he required. He said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. If you'll remember when he was talking to those Pharisees there, he told them, he said, "Who hath warned you?" He called them a generation of vipers. He said, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He told them, he said, "Listen, I can't just baptize you." He said, "But who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who's told you about the Lord? Who's told you about your sin? Who's told you what's going to happen to you when you die? Who's told you about these things?" Oh, he was telling them. He didn't just take them to the water's edge and baptize them just because it was convenient. So here it is, we find Judas. He got himself, and listen, the Lord had placed him there. And like I said, there are certain aspects that I don't necessarily understand. I know the Lord over in the Scripture said that what man intended for evil, God used for good. Now, Judas found himself in this position. I want you to imagine for just a moment. He was there with the apostles. He was there with the Lord Jesus. I've heard Brother Steve Sampson say several times, I just wonder what it would have been like to have been around him and experienced the things that the Lord was doing. When we read throughout the Scriptures and we find the things that Jesus done, He turned the water into wine. He raised several that was dead, Jairus' daughter and different ones. He raised them from the dead. Judas was there and experienced all of that. He was there when those that had leprosy, that he was able to make them walk again. Those that was deaf, he allowed them to hear. Those that was blind, he allowed them to see. Listen, he was there. He seen it. He experienced it. He was a part of it. The Lord told him numerous times. He was there around the preaching when he would preach to people. He told them at different times to come unto me. Just as Brother Chris preached the first night, he said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. They sought out a sign. Different ones sought out a sign, and he said, the only sign that I'll give you, he said, just as Jonas was in the belly of the whale or the fish there 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. He told them he was there. He heard everything that Jesus... Listen, he experienced it. The thing that Brother Steve talks about, he said, I wish I could have been there and experienced it, but Jesus was there. Judas was a treasure. If you'll remember, in part of the Scripture, there was one that was anointing the Lord's feet and washing them with the tears and her hair there. And Judas said, well, couldn't this money have been used on something for the poor? Couldn't it have been used for something different? Judas's heart was fixed on money. It was fixed upon the world. It was fixed upon everything else but the Lord Jesus. He had his mind and his focus on everything else. He wasn't looking at Jesus for who Jesus was. He just wanted to be a part of the association, if you will. I don't believe, and I'll get into that just in a moment, but I don't believe he ever realized Jesus for who he was. He never did see him for who he was. He just seen the surface of the things. My friend, if he would have known him as the one that had saved him, I don't believe he'd ever done what he done. Judas here sought out the opportunity to betray the Lord Jesus. You know how much he betrayed him for? All of us know, don't we? 30 pieces of silver. I tried to figure that out. I've heard different people say different numbers about what it was, but I'm going to tell you this. Regardless of what the amount is, it was very little money. Very little money that he sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. They had, devised a plan that as the Lord Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he had told his disciples, he said, sit up and wait for me a while as I go over here and pray. And you remember as he was in that Garden of Gethsemane there, the Bible says that he was praying. And my friend, he prayed and great drops of sweat fell as blood from him. And my friend, I believe that he was in great distress. My friend, he told the Lord, he said, if there be any other way, he said, remove this cup from me. But he said, nevertheless, Lord, let thy will be done. You suppose why he was praying that prayer? I believe that if he was there, and I think about over there when Abraham was up there with Isaac upon the mountain, and the Lord provided a ram that was caught in the thicket, the Lord provided another avenue. And listen, Jesus, my friend, yes, he was a man in the flesh, and I'll put it to you this way, he was 100% God and 100% man. A man that had never knew sin. Never. I think about how much I've tarnished and how filthy that I am, my righteousness. And the only thing righteous about me is what God has done for me. And I think about everything that I've ever done and ever would do. And my friend, as Jesus is there in that garden, you might disagree with me, but I believe he was praying for me. And I believe he was praying for you. And I believe he was calling out to the Lord. Lord, I know this bitter cup I'm about to drink, God. Lord, if there be any other way. But he knew what lie before him. If you remember, his disciples fell asleep. He went back to his disciples. He said, can't you just keep watch for just a little while? He went back to pray again, and it says there that the angel come and ministered to him and strengthened him. And as he was praying here, Judas had devised this plan. Why had they devised this plan? If you remember, those Pharisees and those Sadducees had wanted to destroy him from the very beginning. They wanted to do away with Jesus. They hated him. They hated what he was doing because people was being changed, not on the outward appearance. You'll remember that's what Jesus said. He said, you try to clean up the outside of the platter and the cup. He said, you try to make things look pleasing. He said, but we're talking about what's going on in the inside here. Now, devised this plan. Judas went to him, told him, devised this plan that he might betray him. I won't take up the rest of our reading. Y'all pray for me. I need the Lord's help. I don't know how much longer I'll go here. He says here in this 47th verse of this same chapter, and he says, and while yet he spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what he would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far? And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said unto the priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come unto him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this, your hour, and the power of darkness. I want to stop there for just a moment, and you'll find here that as Judas come in, the Bible says that it betrayed him with a kiss. And I began to think about that, and I heard a preaching brethren of mine some time ago mention along these lines, and it's been on my heart since, and my friend had said that Jesus, there he said, betrayest thou with a kiss. And my friend tonight, I want you to know that in my heart, I just couldn't help but think that he kissed the door of heaven. And my friend Jesus said, I am the door. He said, I am the way. And he talked about over there in John, and I want to read that for just a moment. John there in the 10th chapter, he talked about over there, and do bear with me. I'll try to get freed up here in a minute. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by his name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. And this parable of Jesus spoke unto them, but they understood not the things that were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me is thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, and I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And you'll find here as Judas come in, I want you to remember over there in the beginning part of 22, it said that Satan had entered into Judas. And my friend, I want you to know in all of my heart, I believe that Judas had every opportunity to be saved up into a certain point. I believe there come a point that Judas turned his heart and he come fixated upon himself and what he desired to do. And my friend, I believe that was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But you'll find here that Jesus said, I am the door. And he betrayed him with a kiss. And I thought about how close Judas got. How close he got to heaven itself, to the Lord Jesus. And my friend, there's a great number of people that's going to get real close, but they'll never enter in through the door. They'll never know Jesus. They'll get right to the door and they'll turn around and walk away. But my friend, tonight, if you're ever going to get to heaven, you've got to go through the door. And Jesus Christ is the door. He's the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. My friend, there's no other way. He is the way. He is the door. You can't get there by your own works. You can't get there because you want to, just as Judas, I thought about, he wanted to, I don't know, maybe he thought, I want to be a part of this crowd. Listen, they're really moving. I want to be a part of that. Listen, the Lord's church is one of the greatest things. My friend, it is the greatest establishment upon earth. It is. But my friend, being a part of the Lord's church won't get you to heaven. That ain't going to get you there. It's by Jesus Christ. And my friend, once then that you're saved and been born again and you've got an experience of salvation and you know what it is, you've walked through the door because Jesus led you that way. And then, my friend, you can enter into baptism. Then you can become a part of the Lord's church. And I'll say this while I'm on it. I'm not going to try to preach on baptism, but I'll say this while I'm on it. I believe the Lord Jesus commanded us to be baptized. I believe that. I believe He commanded us to be baptized. And I believe if you're a child of God, you are to desire to be baptized. I believe you ought to desire to be baptized and be a part of the Lord's church. But my friend, there's a whole world of people that's got it all mixed up. They think that we'll just be baptized and everything will be all right. And they've never, not one time have they ever made a step through the door. They don't know the Lord Jesus. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, all that come before me are thieves and robbers. And my friend, that's what Satan, he thought that he really had something worked out there with Judas, didn't he? He really thought, boy, I've got Jesus now. Even while he was there on the cross at Calvary, he thought, I've really got him. I've got somebody here that's going to betray him, and boy, things are going to go my way. Boy, was he wrong. But I do want you to understand this. Satan is nothing but a liar. He is a liar. The Bible says he's the father of lies. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser. He's everything this morning that's against God. And he desires nothing more this morning, or excuse me, tonight, to tell you that you're okay. He desires nothing this morning to tell you that you'll be all right, that surely this preacher talking about heaven and hell, that my friend, that there's no truth in that, or listen, this he'll tell you not to be confused, or listen, God is not the author of confusion. This thing ain't meant to be complicated. It's not. We'll overcomplicate it. If I'm not careful, I'll overcomplicate it preaching it to you. But it's not meant to be complicated. It's meant to be that the youngest one here that's lost might understand that without God, without ever going through the door, that they're going to die and go to hell. It's meant to be simple. What was it that Jesus said? Did he not say, "Come unto me"? He didn't give them a big elaborate thing that they had to do, but he said, "Come to me if you want to live." Did he not tell them, "I am the bread of life"? Come to me. Where is it else in this world that you're going to go? You remember what happened over there in the 6th chapter of John? Some of them left him. They didn't go with him anymore. And he went to his disciples and he said, "Will you also go away?" And what was it that Peter said? He said, "To whom shall we go, Lord?" He said, "For thou hast the words of eternal life." There's nobody else to go to. There's nowhere else to go but to the Lord Jesus. You remember he was speaking over there to his disciples and he asked them a question. He said, "Who does man say that the Son of Man am?" They said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say thou art Isaiah. Some say thou art Jeremiah the prophet." And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Blessed thou be, Peter, Simon, or Jonah, excuse me." He said, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you. But he said, the Father which is in heaven." My friend, when you step through the door, flesh and blood doesn't have to tell you. Y'all have heard me say this before, but when I was a little boy, I was deceived. I went to a church, and I'll just tell you, some people over there call it New Hope as you bypass it there on 52 headed towards Portland over there. I call it No Hope. That's what it is. It's no hope there. There's no hope. The only hope is in Jesus. And I went there when I was a six-year-old little boy, and they got me off in a room by myself and began to talk to me about my daddy dying. And boy, I was just as confused, and I was in an awful shape it ever was. They set me down and said, "Don't you want to go to heaven and be with your daddy?" Well, what six-year-old little boy don't want to go to heaven and be with their daddy? Absolutely, I wanted to go and be in heaven with my daddy. They said, "Well, you're saved, Dean. You're saved." And I got home and I called my grandmother on the phone, bless her heart, and that woman never said a word to me. She never said not one word. But I tell you what she did do. She started taking me to revival meeting after revival meeting after revival meeting. They'd drive and come get me. I'd stay all week long with them. We'd go morning and night services all the time. And boy, I got wore out with it. But you know what happened one night? I don't know the day anymore. I don't remember the day. But I know it was a July meeting of 1996. And the Lord got a hold of me on that front seat there at Rocky Mount. That preacher got to preaching. And what was one time daddy sorrow? See, I had daddy sorrow, brother. I had daddy sorrow. But I'll tell you what God give me. He give me godly sorrow. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Well, I'll tell you, it ain't going to save you. But boy, I tell you what, when you've got godly sorrow, my friend, because you understand what Jesus Christ done for you, that He's able to forgive your sins, that He took your place on the cross at Calvary. Do you know who that cross should have been intended for? Me. It should have been me. But Jesus said, no man taketh my life. He said, but I lay it down. And He said, if I have the power to lay it down, He said, I have the power to take it up again. So He laid His life down there at the cross at Calvary. He took the whippings. He took the beatings. They hit on Him with their fist. They spit on Him like He was trash. He laid down there on that cross and they began to drive nails in His hands and in His feet. And then they hoisted Him up for the world to see. Here it is, the King of the Jews. And you know what? He done it all for me. And He done it all for you. He declared it is finished. His work that He come to do was accomplished. But Judas here betrayed Him with a kiss. He kissed the door of heaven. And my friend, I want you to know that you may come right up to the door, but if you never walk through the door, my friend, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. I'm thankful tonight that I've had the opportunity to walk through the door. And you know something? It ain't by anything that I've done. The Lord Jesus helped me. Now, you know, Judas, I'm going to point this out because I don't want to leave this out. Judas over here in the 27th chapter of Matthew in this third verse says, Judas, which had betrayed Him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. The Bible says he repented in himself. You ask me where I believe Judas is tonight. I believe Judas is burning in the devil's hell. I don't believe he ever repented to the satisfaction of God. I don't believe he ever knew what godly sorrow was. I don't believe he really fully understood who Jesus was. He had a sorrow in his heart that Jesus was a good man in his eyes and that he died. But I don't believe he recognized Him as the only begotten Son of God. And my friend tonight, if you're ever going to be saved, you're going to have to see Him for who He is. In church, I believe sometimes it do us real good to see Him for who He is. I'm going to read this here and I'm going to wrap it up. He went out and he hanged himself. Mark over here in this fifth chapter. says, and there was a certain woman that had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole in thy plague. We have here a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. And my friend, her circumstances is totally different than Judas's. I want you to know that there is so many in the Bible, my friend, that believed upon the Lord Jesus. And I'm not talking about with a carnal or a mere accepting of who he is, but I'm talking about truly knowing in your heart who he is. And here's this woman. She had had this issue of blood some 12 years. And I won't get into all of that, but if you'll look back in the Leviticus law, you'll find in the 15th chapter, for your own time and your own reading, that there were several things when she had this issue of blood that she could not do. She was unclean in those in that sight, that she wasn't to be around anybody. Nobody could touch her. She couldn't touch anybody else. She had this issue of blood. And my friend tonight, I want you to know that me and you've got an issue of blood. We've got a problem. Galatians calls it a curse. Me and you're cursed. But Jesus Christ overcome that curse, didn't he? He wasn't cursed in that sense, but the Bible says that everyone that hangeth upon a tree is cursed. And he took our place. This woman, my friend, you have an issue of blood. She'd had it 12 years. She had spent all her money on physicians, trying everything that she could in her own way to get it fixed. And my friend, tonight, you might try everything that you can to get your issue fixed. There's been a great number of people that have tried self-helps. I've seen people here in this church when I've preached, they say, Brother Casey, my anxiety, it's just, I've seen them get up and have to go to the bathroom and they'll say, it's just my anxiety, Brother Casey. It's called conviction, people. It's not anxiety. It's called conviction. And when God's dealing with you, you need to deal with it. They got an issue. You've got something wrong with you, and I can't fix it. Only God can. They tried every way in the world. I've seen it all throughout the years. People go to the bathroom. They try to buy as much time as they can. They'll go and do this, or if I do this, it'll take my mind off of it, or anything they can do to get their mind off their condition. You know what she finally did? Bless her heart, she said, I've tried it all. I've tried everything. I've spent all I've got. I've tried every physician that I could ever try. And there's only one thing. I've heard of this Jesus. I've heard what he can do. I know I've heard what he can do. I want you to see the other counterpart of this. She said, I've heard all he can do. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've heard people talking about it. And she said, if I could just get to the hem of his garment, if I could just make it to him, if I could just get to the Lord Jesus, I know that he'll heal me. I know he will.
My friend, that dog, it was covered all around him. There was people all around him. She didn't let that bother her. She made her way to Jesus because she had a problem. And my friend, you've got a problem tonight that needs to be fixed. She didn't let that throng of people bother her. No, she made her way to Jesus. It didn't matter who was around. It didn't matter who seen her. All she knew is she had a problem and she had to get to Jesus. And you know what happened? Oh, she knew if she could just touch the hem of His garment. Church, if we could just get a hold to the hem of His garment tonight. Lost person, if you could just touch the hem of His garment. My friend, she knew she'd be made whole. You know what happened to him? He said, somebody's touched me. There's virtue that's went out of me. He said, there's power that's went out of me. Somebody's touched me. Who is it? Well, his disciples said, Lord, how can we know? There's so many around you. How could you know somebody touched you? Listen to me tonight. The Lord Jesus, if He's dealing with you, He knows your heart. He's drawing you. He knows everything about you. Listen, He knew this woman. He knew that she had touched the hem of His garment. Listen, I could go on. It said, the woman feared and trembling. There needs to be some fear and trembling. I can't make you fear. And I can't make you tremble. But I'm going to say this. Other night, I was having a conversation with my wife on the way home from church. And not this night, a while back ago. She said, honey, it seems like sinners have changed. I said, respectfully, I said, honey, sinners hadn't changed. Sinners are sinners. She said, well, it just doesn't seem like things is having the effect on them like it used to. I don't know how it was for y'all, but David's testimony there in the 116th Division, I can relate to that. That's what happened to me. The pains of hell got upon me and I was brought low. I found trouble and I found sorrow. And there was trembling. I was scared. I was terrified. I was everything that you could ever imagine because I knew in my heart God had made it real to me that if I died there at Rocky Mountain that night that I was going to go to hell. And I couldn't imagine not having my family and having all of my loved ones. It scared me to death. And my friend, there needs to be fear and trembling because you're approaching a holy God. You know what Jesus said? He said, don't fear the one that can destroy the body. But He said, fear the one that can destroy both body and soul. God is love. Don't understand what I'm saying here tonight. But I do want you to understand this. That God is also just. And my friend, if you never meet Him on this side, if you never call out to Him, if you never walk through the door, if you allow Satan to get into your mind and manipulate your thinking that maybe you can just do this or do that, or you're going to meet Him. You're going to talk to Him. And I don't know if I fully understand just exactly how that conversation will go, but I believe He'll bring back the remembrance of every time you ever heard the gospel message. And I believe tonight that He'll let you know that you had opportunity to seek and to seek and to seek. And He'll say, why didn't you seek? Why didn't you come to me? I told you that if you'd just come to me, I'd give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I told you if you'd come to me that you'd have eternal life. I told you if you'd come to me that when you die that you'll come and spend eternity with me. My friend, if I was you, I'd make a move towards God. The difference in the comparison of this woman who had an issue of blood 12 years is she knew that she had a condition that nobody else could help her with, and she went to the Lord. And Judas, he was just out for Judas. Judas was just out to put a show on. But the Lord knew who he was from the very beginning. We're not going to get away with nothing from God. Nothing. My friend, tonight, won't you come to the Lord Jesus? Won't you come seek him tonight? I don't know your heart. But I'll tell you this. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. You can't have a repentance upon you that's upon yourself. But you need to look to the Lord Jesus. Because he give everything for you that you might have life. Brother Strode or Brother Mike, you'll get us a song.